For a moment, there was a sharpness to the voice that spoke inside their minds. Then it relaxed and became soothing again. "I hope that it has been a pleasant one so far." "Very educational," Charles Wallace said. "Let Calvin speak for himself," the man ordered. Calvin growled, his lips tight, his body rigid. "I have nothing to say." Meg stared at the man in horrified fascination. His eyes were bright and had a reddish glow. Above his head was a light, and it glowed in the same manner as the eyes, pulsing, throbbing in steady rhythm. Charles Wallace shut his eyes tightly. "Close your eyes," he said to Meg and Calvin. "Don't look at the light. Don't look at his eyes. He'll hypnotize you." "Clever, aren't you?" "Focusing your eyes would, of course, help," the soothing voice went on. "But there are other ways, my little man. Oh, yes, there are other ways." "If you try it on me, I shall kick you," Charles Wallace said. It was the first time Meg had ever heard Charles Wallace suggesting violence. "Oh, will you indeed, my little man?" The thought was tolerant, amused, but four men in dark smocks appeared and flanked the children. "Now, my dears," the words continued, "I shall, of course, have no need of recourse to violence, but I thought perhaps it would save you pain if I showed you at once that it would do you no good to try to oppose me. You see, what you will soon realize is that there is no need to fight me. Not only is there no need, but you will not have the slightest desire to do so. For why should you wish to fight someone who is here only to save you pain and trouble? For you, as well as for the rest of all the happy, useful people on this planet, I, in my own strength, am willing to assume all the pain, all the responsibility, all the burdens of thought and decision." "We will make our own decisions, thank you," Charles Wallace said. "But of course. And our decisions will be one, yours and mine. Don't you see how much better, how much easier for you that is? Let me show you. Let us say the multiplication table together." "No," Charles Wallace said. "Once one is one. Once two is two. Once three is three. Mary had a little lamb," Charles Wallace shouted. "Its fleece was white as snow. Once four is four. Once five is five. Once six is six. And everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. Once seven is seven. Once eight is eight. Once nine is nine. Peter, pumpkin eater, had a wife and couldn't keep her. Once 10 is 10. Once 11 is 11. Once 12 is 12. The number words pounded insistently against Meg's brain. They seemed to be boring their way into her skull. "Twice 1 is 2. Twice 2 is 4. Twice 3 is 6. Calvin's voice came out in an angry shout. 47 years ago, our fathers brought forth on this continent a new nation conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. 24 is 8. Twice 5 is 10. Twice 6 is 12. "Father!" Meg screamed. "Father!" The scream, half involuntary, jerked her mind back out of darkness.